Live from the City of Sin, on the run home, Rebecca Wilson.
Always good to hear from Rebecca Wilson from the Daily Telegraph. She's back again, even though the boys are away. Moons and I will play. Hello, Beck.
Hello, Dan and Cam.
How Hello, Beck.
We're very, very well. Nice to have you on board. It's not often we get a chance to do this in our slots.
I know. I'm very excited to talk to you both. You're both legends.
Oh, I'm sure you're just wrapped. Just tickled pink. Hey, talk to me about the situation up there with the Canterbury Bulldogs. A big weekend for them in the NRL. And has a line in the sand been drawn towards behaviour with referees?
Oh, I think there's definitely been a lot. No question about that. But at the same time, there's elements in the media and within the sporting public and the rugby league public who still believe that the referees were to blame for what happened on Friday night, which is just extraordinary.
Haven't we had experts, like current players or ex-players, come out and say that it was the right decision in the end?
It was absolutely the right decision, but very few people knew about the rule change. And that was the sticking point. So as this whole thing was unfolding, the commentators weren't sure of what the rule was, and you had this insightful James Graham's behaviour, the captain of the Bulldogs, incited the crowd to such a point that you had at least 30 bottles hurled at referees as they left the field. Now, you know, it underlines a lot of problems within the NRL, and I think that the first one of those is that the referees are probably not quite experienced enough to cope with a situation like that, where they should have just sent those players from the field and not even hesitated. The second is that you've got an administration where swift action does not occur as a natural thing, and you don't have the boss like you would have with Demetrio or Gil McLaughlin in the AFL. You don't have the boss of the league getting up and saying, enough's enough, enough's enough. He's delegated responsibility for that to Todd Greenberg, head of football.
Yep.
So, and they still haven't found the Canterbury Club members. They're members, these people, sitting in the best seats in the house. They haven't found the perpetrators, the ones who threw the bottles at the referee and caused a broken shoulder in one of the referees.
So is it the NRL haven't found them, or the Bulldogs, the Canterbury Bulldogs themselves haven't found who these people are?
Well, what happened was the NRL pretty much left it to the Bulldogs. They said, we know who our members are. We've got CCTV. They've involved the police, but they've done it all within 48 hours, and they haven't acted the way you would expect a football organisation that's meant to be one of the most, you know, certainly most professional in the world to act. You know, my view is you get your gun policeman in, you get your integrity unit in, and you just say to everyone, all bets are off and you're all going to be banned for life. And I reckon you'll get fans coming forward, dobbing in those people, because no one wants to see that at a football ground.
No, it was pretty horrific.
Sort of action gag on there.
You know, it's the worst possible advertisement for rugby league, because it's the only time you would see pictures of that game beamed all around the country.
Yeah.
You would not see that. You know, when you've got your AFL season starting, you've got everything talking about AFL, you would never have dreamt of seeing what happened in that game unless that had happened, those last 5 minutes hadn't unfolded.
The charges for contrary conduct are sent to the players. I mean, Graham got 3 weeks, Clemmer got 3 weeks, Cassiano got 2 weeks for a dangerous contact with a dangerous throw, I think it might have been. A separate incident. But can you remember when the last time players have been suspended for dissent, Beck?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the biggest punishment you can get is a send-off. And what's happened in rugby league is, if you have a look at the stats, the send-offs have dramatically dropped. So you no longer get referees willing to actually, cross that line and say, enough's enough. I will actually stop you from winning this game and I'm sending you off. And that's just made the whole situation with players like James Graham burgeon out of control. So it's become this snowball that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, where players like Graham and other captains believe they can get away with telling the referee. I mean, and I urge everyone to have a look on YouTube or whatever else at the words that were used towards that referee, because none of it was pleasant. Mm-hmm. It was all abusive. It was foul language. It was not sensible. It was not measured. And I think that's been the crux of the problem, that no one at the league says, send them off. Now, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they would have all been sent off and they would have got 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen now. Mm-hmm.
What about the introduction of the new concussion measures now, Beck? I mean, NRL, they've probably been a little bit behind the times with this one, but it is still a game that was, it's still very much the old school game, isn't it?
Well, it is. Any body contact where you get just, you know, this remarkable, you know, three people tackling one person. Sometimes that one person is 5'7" and the three people are 6'4" and 110 kilos and there's no rule stopping them from tackling that person face on, head on, in various ways and it'll in within the rules. So you are going to get incredible incidents of concussion. And the players you talk to of my era who are aged in their 40s and 50s now are just saying, if only they'd impose those rules when we were coming through, because they've all got brain damage and they all know they've got brain damage. And, you know, we've got to have now, they're starting to think that independent doctors are the only way, because team doctors just won't defy the coach and pull these players from the field.
Might be the fact that we're just guys, Beck, and we've all got brain damage, haven't we?
To a degree. Well,
yes.
to a degree.
What about our boy Billy Slater down here, Beck? He's out for a month.
Yeah, that's a big loss for you guys. Mm. You're on a bit of a roll. I think that Melbourne's looking better than I think a lot of people thought. And, you know, all this stuff about, you know, they're getting old, those blokes. Well, Cameron Smith is just a freak. And Billy was just finding some really great form. But you knew when you watched that game, with the look on his face and the fact that I think he went through that game very bravely. I mean, in my world, he would have been pulled from the field pretty early on. And he kept going, but you knew at the end of the game that he was done for. And that's going to be a big 4 weeks where you've really got to battle through. But you know what? I must say, you've got some wingers there I'd put into that position, and they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Yeah, you watch out. There's a secret little squirrel about to be unleashed at fullback, Beck, for the Melbourne Storm. You just pay attention to that for the next month and see how this young man goes. They reckon he's a gun. Not giving away too much.
I will. I tell you what, they'll do better than the Bulldogs, who've lost 5 players as a result of that game on the weekend.
Yeah,
5 key players.
Morris out for how long?
Morris is out for at least 4 to 6. The other Morris is very lucky. He didn't emerge as one of the ones who was suspended. And there's 4 other players who are injured, suspended. It's a war of attrition. Mm.
And it's only early in the season. There's more to come throughout the rest of it, Beck. Always great to chat. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Well, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Thanks,
Rebecca
Beck.
Wilson from the Daily Telegraph with us on The Run Home. Let's